There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Caitlin.
Everything is absolutely fine with your health right now.
Oh, okay.
Just so you know.
Cool. Okay. Well, that's not suspicious at all. It's so interesting you say that, because I used to tell people that their health was fine, and it wasn't. It literally wasn't.
Oh, really?
But when you tell it to me, I'm like, okay, makes sense.
Yeah, I think you should just believe me.
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely telling the truth.
Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. Do you want to go to lunch?
Yeah, let's go to lunch.
Okay, awesome. Perfect intro. 10 out of 10.
Amazing.
Welcome to the Bechdel cast. I'm Jamie Loftus.
I'm Caitlin Durante, and this is our show where we examine movies through an intersectional feminist lens.
We promise that intro is relevant to today's discussion, but if it weren't, that would be really funny.
I just open every episode just being like, Jamie, you're in good health.
Right. I was like, sorry, everyone. Caitlin is my doctor. She's my pediatrician. I still go to my pediatrician, and it's Caitlin. How long did you go to your pediatrician?
My pediatrician was also an adult doctor, question mark. So I did go
Maybe
to
Maybe that's
like...
just what they told you.
True. I did go to the same doctor for the first 18 years of my life.
I went to the pediatrician until I was 22. And he was mm-hmm. like, you need to get out of here. Like, they give you a hard out. They're like, "You, ma'am, you could have a child at this point and you need to leave."
I would never do that for you, Jamie.
Thank you so much. I want to be 30 and still at my pediatrician, but some things just cannot be.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
What is this podcast? What's happening?
We use the Bechdel test simply as a jumping off point to initiate a larger conversation about representation in film. The Bechdel test being a media metric created by queer cartoonist Alison Bechdel, sometimes called the Bechdel-Wallace test. And there are many variations on the test. The one that we are using these days requires that two named characters of any marginalized gender speak to each other, and their conversation has to be about something besides a man. And ideally, it is a meaningful, plot-relevant, narratively relevant conversation, mm-hmm. and not just like, here's your soup. Okay, thanks.
Unless the soup is poisoned, in which case that is relevant.
That is very important. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So, you know, there's shades of gray here as well.
It's all about the context and the subtext, you know?
The soup text.
Amazing.
We have an incredible movie today. Popular request has been since the movie was released, and an equally, if not even more incredible guest that I think Asuka, you're in like the, we should like send you a jacket at this point. I think that you've like entered jacket territory of how often you've been on the show. I want to send all of our frequent guests jackets.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Asuka's third time returning guest.
Yeah.
Jacket tier.
I would love that. Do you have jackets?
Oh my gosh. We don't, but we'll make some.
I want one of those. Yeah. Like one of those like, like football jackets.
Yes.
That like, are you cold, babe? And then you like put. I want one of those jackets.
You mean like a Letterman jacket?
That's the word.
Yes.
Football jacket.
Well, for you all, I am cold, babe. And put me on the waiting list for when you do make them.
Oh my gosh. We sure will. So this, of course, is comedian, creator of Ohio and Let's Go Atsuko. You know her from our episodes on Shrek and Austin Powers. So lots of Mike Myers jokes. It's Atsuko Okatsuka.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for making me not do a Mike Myers again.
Yeah, we should say right at the top that Asuka was not asking to do Mike Myers movies this whole time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. But it's just like been throughout the years, you know? So I'm just afraid like it's too late, Jamie. I just feel like, you know, because I feel like I did Shrek with you all like years ago.
Yeah.
And then I come back years later and I'm, you know, people are like, oh God, Austin Powers? And then, you know what I'm saying? Like for years now, I think.
It's part of your brand, unfortunately, that you love Mike Myers. Yeah, basically what happened is a while back we wanted to do an episode on Shrek and we reached out to you and we just kind of like floated it. We're like, whatever movie you want to cover, but also we want to cover Shrek if that's of any interest to you. And you were like, sure, let's do Shrek. And then... We also, years later, wanted to do an Austin Powers episode. And then we were like, Atsuko, wouldn't it be so funny if you came back?
But now we've tarnished your brand.
And you know what's weird is you came to me this time and you gave me a break, right? It's like I just started getting good at saying no, like this year. Mm-hmm. And so it sucks. I couldn't like practice that even for this. I was ready for you all to ask me again. You know, whichever it was, Shrek 3 or whatever, you know, and I was ready to say no this time, but then y'all switched it on me.
We did. So today's movie is The Farewell, which is
not even remotely a Mike Myers movie.
Not even close. So Atsuko, what's your relationship with The Farewell
besides creating it? Besides directing it? I actually avoided watching this movie for a long time because I'm super close with my grandma. So I was like so scared, and I hadn't heard the This American Life story of the film, right? And so I was like, I don't know if my heart can take this movie just from even like that trailer. And I was like, grandma gonna die. I don't know if I could deal with that. And I was telling people this too. Like, I'm scared to watch it. Folks who'd seen it. Mm-hmm. None of them told me, wait, this is going too far. And I know this podcast is full of spoilers, but I don't know if I want to say it already.
Spoiler alert, everyone. people know that they're going to get spoilers. So yeah, feel free to spoil away.
No one told me for years. So I watched it like 2 years after it had been released. Mm-hmm. I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it, you know? And I was like, wait, no one told me that she doesn't die.
Right.
And I was telling people that's my fear. And they were like, yeah, sure, we get it, And I was like, what are you trying to do, protect me from spoilers? I'm telling you, like, you know what I'm saying? Right. It could have helped me.
Uh-huh. That's so, it's like they're making a choice between spoilers and your emotional well-being.
That's what I'm saying, Jamie. It's messed up.
Right.
So many people do this with spoilers. right? Like, there's a special place in hell for people who spoil movies and TV shows, right? I learned the hard way because I tweeted about this. I said, y'all didn't tell me the grandma never dies, you know? And some people thanked me because they were like, you know what? This is why I haven't been watching this movie. Now I can go watch it and protect my heart and, you know, not feel like left out from the cinematic experience, you know. But most of the people were like, fuck you. Why'd you spoil it? I'm like, you, it's been 2 years, okay?
Right.
Right. You had time. Also, I don't know. I think if I guess I did not know that she lives at the end going into the movie. But I don't know that it would have, like, changed my experience of the movie that much. I think I would have just felt a little calmer going in.
Yeah, right? And that's okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm a type of, I really don't mind spoilers because, like, I feel everything too much and I'll, like, think about it for a long time, sometimes months. Mm-hmm. And so, I like going into a thing calmer. Yes. Mm-hmm. Give it to me.
And it's not even, like, an enormous twist where, like, you know, it's like, I would have never seen that coming. It's like either she did die or she didn't. And it's like those are the two options. And right. Like,
a twist would have been if Awkwafina was dead the whole time.
Exactly.
That would have been a twist.
Stop it.
Or like if Nai Nai was just a projection of Awkwafina's subconscious. Mm. That's a twist.
Yeah.
That she never even existed or something.
I would be so pissed at both of those scenarios.
Yes.
Yeah. Farewell. Yes. Who's saying farewell? Me from this movie forever. Okay. But yeah, that's, I got to the movie way too late and I had no one to talk about it, is my relationship with the farewell. you know, by then everyone was like over it.
Mm-hmm. Well, not us. Not now. We're here currently talking about
under it.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all so much. Just in time for May, you know? Yeah.
Jamie, what about your relationship?
Yeah, I did not see this movie when it came out because I was away the entire, I went to Edinburgh Fringe the summer this movie came out. Mm. And so I just wasn't in the U.S. when it was in theaters. So I didn't see it at the time. And then my grandma died shortly after that. And then I was like, I don't think I want to see a movie where the grandma dies for a little bit.
Yeah.
So again, it's like, yeah, if I knew she lived at the beginning, I also am not super bothered by spoilers. So I'm like, I probably would have watched it like a year ago if I had known that, like, you fall in love with Nai Nai and then she's okay and it's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just watched it to prepare for this episode, and I really, really liked it. I thought I think it's like such a good movie, and the performances in this movie are so incredible, and I'm excited to talk about it.
Same. I did see it in theaters when it came out summer of 2019, and because it was getting some buzz and everyone's like, it's really good. So I used my AMC Stubbs membership.
Incredible plug.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it in theaters and really enjoyed it and was very endeared by the story and the characters' relationships. So, yeah, should we?
You know, I'm starting to see why y'all went with Mike Myers. Like, when you two enjoy something, it's just nice, you know? And then it's like, well, let's just do the Bechdel test now and we're done with the episode. Because everyone's like, well, it was really nice. The performances were nice and we enjoyed it.
Yeah, okay, nothing problematic, right? Like, honestly, my notes for this are very sparse because I'm just like, I really liked it and it's good. The end.
I have multiple smiley faces in my notes. I'm like, yeah, we definitely thrive in the all cap zone of like, what the fuck is this?
I know. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I take it back.
Yeah, let's pivot right now. We're going to do
Shrek Forever After.
No, there's got to be stuff. There's stuff. Okay, all right.
Yeah, we'll find it.
Sorry for interrupting. Keep going.
Not at all. Should we just get into the recap and go from there?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hell yeah.
So this is a true story based on, quote, an actual lie. So it's like autobiographical of writer-director Lulu Wang's life and relationship with her grandmother. So we meet Billy, played by Awkwafina. She lives in New York City. Ever heard of it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You have? You have heard of it?
I did kind of jump where there's like scenes of Awkwafina walking through New York, obviously not wearing a mask. And I'm like, I need to like deprogram myself because I was like, huh! But it was like, oh, wait, it's actually fine. And she's fine.
Yeah.
It's also where she's like, you know, that like that demeanor Awkwafina is known for. I feel like she got to do that just when she was in New York.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is just like performance wise, you know, where she's like, hey, girl, hey. I feel like that she did that to a friend she recognized in the streets of New York, busy New York, right?
Right.
And then I feel like she had to shift performances for, you know, later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so that was interesting. Yeah. But yes, New York City. Me too. Me too. I've heard of it.
Wow, we've all heard of it. Amazing.
Awkwafina's performance is so great in this movie. And it also, it's always like the performance that's like comedian that's like, I'm serious now. Like, it's like mm-hmm. that performance for her. I feel like there comes a day in every like big famous comedian's life where they're like, but guess what? I've got range. And you're like, all right, great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Adam Sandler? I don't know.
It was a Adam guess. Adam Sandler moment.
It was just a wild
this
guess.
This is her Uncut Gems.
Oh my gosh. That movie.
I was actually thinking, this is probably even more embarrassing. I was thinking about Robin Williams and Good Will Hunting.
Got it. Yeah.
It's a trend. So Billy is talking on the phone with her grandma, Nai Nai, played by, I'm going to do my best with pronunciations, Zhao Shuzhen. Nai Nai lives in China. And then we establish that they tell little white lies to each other pretty frequently, including when Nai Nai tells Billy that she's at her sister's house when she's really at a hospital getting a CT scan. Mm-hmm. And then Nai Nai's sister speaks to the doctor. Then her sister tells Nai Nai that she's in good health. Then we meet Billy's mom and dad, Lu Zhen and Haiyan. They reveal to Billy that her Nai Nai is actually dying of stage 4 lung cancer.
She is Haiyan's mother.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that she has no more than 3 months to live, but Nai Nai doesn't know that she's dying. And the family thinks it's better to not tell her because it's a common cultural practice in China to not tell an elderly family member that they are dying. Although Billy thinks it's wrong to not tell her. Mm. So Billy's family is heading to China the following day for Billy's cousin's wedding, which is just an excuse so that everyone can go and see Nai Nai before she dies.
They also tell Billy not to come. They're like, you have a terrible poker face and you're not invited.
I know.
Right. But then Billy goes anyway, like I think like a few days after her family has arrived. And she gets there and her grandma is like, you look really sad. What's wrong? And she has to pretend like everything is fine. And her family keeps telling Billy, like, do not tell grandma. And she keeps being like, well, what if Nai Nai has things she wants to take care of before she dies? Then after a big family dinner, Nai Nai is coughing a lot and she ends up going to the hospital. So the entire family rushes there. She gets some x-rays and the doctor confirms that most families in China would choose not to tell their grandma that they are dying, which Billy challenges and says, again, isn't it wrong to lie? Mm. Won't she be upset when she eventually does find out she's dying? And the family's like, no, because Nai-Nai did the same thing. She lied to her dying husband and didn't tell him until the very end of his life. Mm-hmm. And then the family goes and visits Billy's grandfather's grave. Mm-hmm. And then her uncle, Hyben, tells Billy that they're withholding this information because they are bearing the emotional burden for Nai-Nai, because the East just has a greater focus on community and like a person being part of a larger whole, while the West, which is what Billy is used to as an American, is more about individualism and like the self and taking care of one's self. Mm-hmm. Then it's time for the big wedding banquet, where different members of the family start like breaking down and crying and saying kind of like a veiled goodbye to Nai-Nai.
I mean, veiled is questionable too. I mean, when the uncle gives a speech, this is like, and of course, this wedding is dedicated to my mom for some reason. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, and the groom's crying. I mean, the more you summarize it, I'm like, the grandma knew, okay? The grandma knew. Right. How did she not know? Everyone's falling apart around her?
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, we get every hint that she's like really observant and calls people out of their bullshit constantly. So it's like, she knew, yeah.
And she lied too, to her husband.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, how would she not think? And she's Chinese and lives in China, so she knows this is what people do, right? There's mm-hmm. no way she didn't know. Anyway.
She's also gone to the hospital several times with what are clearly health problems.
Yeah, but it's just like a tiny cold every time mm-hmm. or allergies, you know, but we all say that here, right? Like, right. That's something, like, I never hear, like, my family say, or, like, when I was in Asia. Allergies is definitely a thing here that people are like, oh, it's just allergies. And I'm like, no, you clearly have, I think it's emphysema. And they're like, no, it's, or, like, it sounds really bad. And everyone always says it's allergies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a classic deflection.
right. And yeah. I'm pretty sure you have COVID. They're like, no.
No, it's no, just it's, hay fever.
Yeah, it's that season. it's like astrology. It's like Gemini season. Right, yeah. Right.
Happy Gemini season, everybody.
Wow. So Billy is holding it together as best she can. And then Nai-Nai's x-ray results come back. So Billy has to rush to the hospital to grab them. And then the family has to like alter them so that they say that Nai-Nai is indeed in good health. And then it's time for Billy to leave China and say goodbye to Nai-Nai, and then she goes back to New York.
Oh, but also Nai-Nai gives her a bunch of money before she leaves, and that was the moment where I'm like, she knows. She just knows.
Mm. Yeah, she's just making sure to not say it out loud, because maybe if you don't, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. She's like, it might seem like I'm settling my affairs right now, but no, it's just because I gave your cousin a wedding present, so I figured I'd give you some money too. It's only fair.
Right.
I didn't think about the money part. In fact, I forgot about it. See, this is why I love the summary, you know, every time y'all do it.
The money part, I was like back and forth the whole movie, and like, she has to know, right? She has to know. And then when the money part happened, I was like, she knows.
Hard to say. But then the movie ends with a video of writer-director Lulu Wang's real-life Nai-Nai. Mm-hmm. And then there's like text that says, 6 years after her diagnosis, Nai-Nai is still with us. So she did not die. She lived. And
we're like, woohoo! Oh, God. Truly, that last slide saying that the real life Nai-Nai is okay was such a relief. I truly mm-hmm. just exhaled. I'm like, wow, now I can sleep tonight? Amazing.
No, well, I didn't sleep because then I was like, well, okay, so I'm watching this 2 years after those titles were written. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, well, I gotta know if she's still alive. Also, you know, this whole movie came out, okay? Lulu Wang was at the Golden Globes, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, they're still keeping this a secret. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I mean, China, sure, she lives in China, but it's like, they have the internet, you know? So I was curious. I went deep diving.
Ooh, what did you find out?
I think the grandma's still alive, but then she kind of has an inkling now or something because of Lulu Wang's Golden Globe. Did Lulu Wang win? Awkwafina won something. Anyway, yeah, somehow, yeah, like, she read an article or something. Like, there's a whole ass movie about her.
Yeah,
like a really famous movie.
I read that she found out because of her sister told, because they shot the movie like a block away from real life Lulu Wang's Nai Nai, like her neighbor, like a block away from where she lives. So she found out while they were filming. But actually, that's what I read. But then I heard Lulu Wang talk in interviews about the movie, and she also made it seem like she still doesn't know.
Maybe she just like knew that Lulu Wang made a movie that was about her, but not the details or something.
Yeah, yeah, a block away. I'm like, all these people are trying to get caught, okay? These people are trying to, they just want to tell each other. And that's what happens when you keep a secret that's, you know, a big lie like this. It's like, I think you want to tell them and you feel guilty. So you're like, I'm going to just shoot the film a block away from grandma's, you know?
If she goes on a walk, she goes on a walk.
When she goes on a walk, she goes on a walk. Yeah. And as the grandma, I'm going to give her the money, you know, as if I don't know that I am indeed, you know, have what? What was it? Stage four lung cancer. Mm-hmm. I feel for these people, you know, just the leaps and bounds and all kinds of things you go through just to, like, not just tell each other the truth.
It's such a burden. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back to discuss.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
And we're back. Where do we want to start? I know this is like this is an episode where we like mostly have really nice things to say.
Right.
I have a question for you two.
Yes.
if you were to make a movie that about your family that and you did not want them to know, how far away would you film from them?
Not in the same state, at least.
Okay.
Yeah, I would, my family and I are separated by around 3,000 miles because they all live on the East Coast. So, yeah, I feel pretty good about that distance.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
What about you?
I would, well, okay, so my family really are super offline, except for my grandma. Mm-hmm. So like, if it was about my grandma would know. But if it's other family, I would probably feel safe being okay, like filming even like, you know, in a different area code, but like even Southern California or something. Mm-hmm. That's how disconnected they are. So I would probably feel safe. Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Even just like 20 minutes away.
I feel like that's all you need, because it's like 20 minutes is just far enough that it's like, what are the, like, it would take a big coincidence for them to stumble upon. One block really is, that's like edging location wise.
Yeah. No, exactly. Like there's, yeah, if it was 20 minutes away, you're right. Unless I texted them like, hey, you know, be here.
Right.
At this location.
Meet me for lunch.
That's how I send out my call sheets. I'm like, meet me here at this place. 6 a.m. Bring shoes.
It's like a ransom note.
Yeah.
Yes. That's so funny.
I guess, yeah, to start, I mean, there's so much to talk about here. There's like, I guess if we start with Billy and like who she is as a character, I mean, we like see her at the beginning, like in this extremely American, like American millennial thing where it's like she's, I don't know, in her late 20s and like struggling as a writer and is applying mm-hmm. for all these fellowships and like struggling with money, but doesn't want to talk about it. And like, all these very recognizable things. And then for most of the movie, we're watching her kind of like straddle across. I mean, that's the whole movie, is her straddling across the values of two different cultures and like figuring out how she actually feels.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. I feel like there's not a lot of movies, especially mainstream movies like this, that like even address that at all, even though it's a very common thing.
Yeah.
Is
this considered mainstream, you think?
I guess I just say mainstream because it like got so much award attention.
Sure.
But I don't know. I mean, I was interested in like, because there was a whole controversy about this movie's like during award season where it was like put in, I feel like this happens all the time, where it was like put in the like best foreign language movie, and at the Golden Globes, and then at the Academy Awards they have different rules. And Lulu Wang talked about it pretty extensively about you know, just challenging those decisions and like challenging like, this is an American movie, it was made by an American, the main character is an American, it's an American drama, but the way that right. award shows are built doesn't accommodate a story like this, and like, why is that? And I don't know, she gave a lot of really interesting interviews that kind of like challenged just, I mean, and that's been fortunately, I think, like a lot of the last couple of years is just challenging what a shit show and how like extremely rigidly white movie award shows are. And I vaguely remember that being a discussion when this movie was like in the award season, but reading the interviews in depth was really interesting.
Yeah, right. It's like 50%, it has to be 50% English spoken or something.
Yeah,
for I think Golden Globes or something. I do remember that just because it happened again this year,
right?
With Minari,
right?
Yeah,
where it just seems like those categories like need to be revisited and just they need to be modernized, basically.
Right, mm-hmm. A new test.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because maybe like y'all's goal is to like one day where the Bechdel test isn't need it anymore, right? Or I don't know. I want your podcast to keep going, so maybe you need.
I mean, I feel like
even like between the time the show started and now, it's like become, I mean, not that representation's gotten so wildly better, but it has like improved in the last 5 years. The show's been on for 5 goddamn years.
No, yeah. Well, that's why, like, but there's so many films to like revisit from like decades ago and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so
there's so many more Shreks. I mean,
stop it.
There's a fifth one on the way.
How many? What? No, stop. Wait, what?
There's
the fifth?
There's a fifth Shrek.
Wait, I missed the fourth. And I just found out about the third, honestly, talking to y'all today. Mm-hmm. And you went to the fifth. So can you just tell me, are there, there's kids, is it like about the kids now or something?
They start having kids. I think that's the third movie.
There's a new generation of Shreks. Yeah.
And okay.
And then wait, what is Shrek Forever After? I just remember going on a date in high school to Shrek Forever After.
Yeah, I've seen up to Shrek 3. I have not seen Shrek 4. There's also like spin-offs. There's like a Puss in Boots movie, which I skipped that one.
It's true. Well, that's your mistake. I thought it was a blast. Shrek Forever After, they bring in Rumpelstiltskin. I vaguely remember this. Yeah.
Got it.
They expand the universe.
That's the guy who says riddles.
I think
he wants to steal babies from people. So he's like, give me your, I'll spin you some gold, but you have to promise me your firstborn. Or he's also like, what's my name?
What's my name?
I forget what.
Kinky.
He wants, okay, here's
what's my motherfucking name.
I'll tell you the story of Rumpelstiltskin and then we'll get back to the farewell.
Yeah, I don't think I know this story. This sounds fucked up.
Okay, so Rumpelstiltskin, there's like this young maiden who someone's like, we need someone to spin this room full of hay into gold or something like that. And she's like, I can do it. And she like makes this promise that she can do it, but it turns out she can. She's like, oh no, what am I gonna do with this room full of hay or whatever? And then Rumpelstiltskin shows up and he's like, guess what? I know how to spin hay into gold and I'll do it for you, but you have to promise me your firstborn child. And she's like, sure, that's fine.
Rumpelstiltskin's that guy who takes your firstborn child.
But that's also...
And then,
okay, sorry, I just said he's the guy that tells riddles. That was... yeah, that's a...
There's more
layers that I was missing. I didn't know. I thought he was like the Riddler.
No. And then he's like, if you can guess my name, I won't. Okay, so wait, but that doesn't happen yet, I don't think. So he gives her like the hay gold or whatever. And then I think a few other things happen. And then she has a baby and then Rumpelstiltskin comes to collect. And he's like, you give me your baby. And she's like, no, I made that promise and I didn't mean it. And he's like, well, screw you. But if you can guess my name, I won't take your baby. And then somehow she overhears him saying his name. And then he comes to collect the baby again. And she's like, no, Rumpelstiltskin, you cannot have my baby. And he's like, oh, damn it. You knew my name. All right, I'll leave now. And that's the story.
Hold on. Okay, you need to have me back for this. Please have me back for this fifth Shrek. I take it back. I really want to come back.
Wait, Shrek, when does Shrek 5 come out? Shrek 5 comes out. Wait, why won't they tell me?
We don't need to schedule it now. But no, that was really, you know, I was at the edge of my seat.
Isn't that a riveting story?
Mm-hmm. It comes out next year. Oh, wow. I can hardly wait. What's going to happen next?
Oh, I already know. Because if Shrek's having babies, right? Maybe it's one of the babies that Rumpelstiltskin tries to... I don't know. Anyway, that's my guess. well, back to this movie.
Back to the farewell. Oh, yeah. We were talking about awards and how they are not... these like prestigious awards and how they are not accommodating to stories like this, which is an American story made by an American director, told from the point of view of an American. And even though a lot of this movie takes place in another country and is in a language other than English, but because a lot of awards, like you said, cater to like white American monolingual English language centric stories, and they tend to forget that a lot of Americans are immigrants or come from immigrant families, and or they speak languages besides English at home or in their communities. And these are still very much American stories featuring American characters, but these awards institutions treat these movies like they're not.
It just like operates on a really rigid version of like what being American is, that like has not made sense for a really, really long time.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. I just think, I mean, for me, you know, these rules, the 50-50 thing, it just depends on who's watching, because, you know, people who make the rules. I mean, Hillbilly Elegy, I would contend, is a, you know, foreign film. For me, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we had to go there, because, you know, I just don't know the world, and you know what I'm saying? But it doesn't make it not American. Mm-hmm. Here I am defending it, you know. It doesn't not make it American. They're just as American as we are. And they deserve to be at the ceremonies. And
it's like something I thought was like when I was just doing like research on the background of this movie, like I feel like nothing like hits that point home clearer than the fact that like Chinese audiences were not very interested in this movie. It made like $3 in China. Mm-hmm. And it seems like there is a whole Variety article on it that we'll link in the description, but it seems to boil down to the fact that this is like a very culturally normal thing to do in China. And so everyone was kind of like, yeah, so what? Like, why is there a whole movie about this like very normal thing, where I feel like to Americans, for a lot of Americans, they just didn't know that this was a cultural practice, and that like watching an American character navigate it was like really compelling and really interesting.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's not news that award shows are like extremely out of touch and racist and not up to date in any way, but there you go.
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest lie your family member has told you? And then they were like, oh, just kidding.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good question. I don't know. I feel like my family was like too honest with me too young, and it had like a different kind of negative impact, where like when I was 7 or 8, my grandma told me at a Mother's Day breakfast that my mom had had miscarriages, like a ton of miscarriages before me, and that they were angels following me around, and I got really scared.
Oh my God. But that was so that's an example of like a super truthful statement that was kind of scary.
It was too real too soon for me anyways. I was like, because then I got scared that there were like these teenage ghosts following me around, and it freaked me out.
Oh my God. That is like I like that they're teenage ghosts and not like fetuses.
I imagine them aging as ghosts in real time. I was like, oh, she'd be like 14, 15. So I like got kicked out of school for drawing all these like ghosts. Oh, I was like, God. Oh, these are my dead brothers and sisters. They follow me around.
Wow.
Anyways, it was so too honest was my family's problem.
Yeah, my family didn't tell me outright lies. It was more just about like, oh, like I'll wait till you're older and then I'll tell you that I had 2 abortions. This is my mom. When I
also
was like,
an abortion? Also abortion? Oh my gosh.
A lot of drama.
Yeah, my mom, when I was in my mid-20s, she's like, and it was actually prompted by the death of my grandma. She was oh no, I'm going to die sometime, so I better tell my children things that I want them to know before I die. So then my mom called me and she's like, I just want you to know, and this might you know, tarnish what you think of me, but I did have two abortions before you and your siblings were born. And I was like, Mom, that makes you way cooler than I thought you were. So thanks for sharing. So yeah, it was like more stuff like that. But yeah, I don't think I was like outright lied to about anything major.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she still told you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Asuka, did your family ever tell you any like bizarro like lies when you were younger?
Yeah, this was a big one. the farewell, I connect to it, not just because of like cultural stuff or the grandma stuff, you know, but a lot of it. Yeah. Where it's like, even like Awkwafina's real life, she was raised by her grandma, and mm-hmm. so was I. And I feel like there's a lot of Asian stories where it's there's a grandma if there's like a like if it's following a woman. Mm-hmm. I think like in Hustler too, not number two. I mean T-O-O, mm-hmm. right? Constance Wu's grandma. Anyway, I don't want to spoil that movie because yeah. I know people aren't listening to get spoiled on Hustler right now. But anyway, was it called Hustler?
Yeah. Hustlers.
Hustlers.
Hustlers. Yeah. Hustlers.
I forgot about that detail. Yeah, that her she's like part of the reason she's working at the club is to help support her grandma. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And there's a grandma in Fresh Off the Boat. There's always a grandma. I don't know. They live long.
Nora from Queens too. Which is loosely based on Awkwafina's life, but yeah, she lives with her grandma.
Yeah, but in my case for the farewell, like I feel like I was the grandma in the grandma's position. My mom and grandma lied about how long we were gonna come to the States for. They lied to me about. They said we were coming for a 2-month vacation, which is I feel like a lot of. Undocumented immigrants, it's a thing the families say. Mm. We're just here.
And then you just never leave.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so that was the main lie. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know I didn't know for a long time. Well, I knew when I was like, well, it's been 2 months, y'all. And, you know, our tourist visas were only for 2 months long. Mm-hmm. And then my grandma was like, and then she enrolled me in school. And suddenly I was in school, and then like a year went by.
And like you're like, I don't think this is a 2-month vacation anymore.
Long as hell.
The rest of our stuff got shipped from Japan. But she still tried to sit me down to tell me like when I was like 17, when I was trying to get my driver's license, I was like, I want to drive like the other kids. Mm. And then she was like, oh, you can't. Because you don't have a social security number, because you're undocumented. Mm. And I was like, yeah, I think I had a feeling. Yeah, I know, bitch. Yeah. I know we overstayed our visas. I know that. It was just wild that she still felt the need to tell me the truth. So it was like withholding. Mm-hmm. But we never talked about it because it was like maybe too painful for me. Mm-hmm. I missed all my friends. I didn't say bye to them. I didn't say bye to my dad because I thought I was going back after a summer vacation. And then, anyway. I love that my grandma still tried to tell me, though.
She did her due diligence.
That she lied to me.
Your grandma is iconic.
She truly, I mean, she's a social media star. She's
she's a liar. That's what she is.
She's exposed.
I mean, but that's why movies like this are so important. That's why, you know, we say it all the time, but why representation is important, because they expose audiences to cultures and communities and philosophies that some people might not otherwise have much exposure to. So movies like this can be like an educational tool. Like the first time I watched this movie, similar to Billy, I was astonished that the characters would choose not to tell a family member that she was dying.
Yeah.
But then later, when different characters explained to Billy about how they're carrying the burden for her, because in Eastern philosophy, there's a greater emphasis on a person's role in a group and how they are part of a larger whole, while Western and American culture is all about the individual and, you know, like picking yourself up by your bootstraps and stuff. And then I was like, oh, like, I totally get that now.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just thought it was really cool that one of the major themes of this movie was the exploration of these cultural and ideological differences. And I thought Lulu Wang handled that all very thoughtfully.
I think the only thing that only way they could have made Billy more American in this was if she then went on to tell it on This American Life or like another podcast. Because that, you know, like, yeah, it's just, that's a very American thing to do, you know, to be like, well, my story needs to be heard. Well, my grandma's story needs to be heard. NPR or, you know, whatever.
Right. Or like, I'm going to do stand-up comedy and I'm going to tell this story on stage. Right.
That kind of is like the full circle where it's like Lulu Wang is giving you all this information and educating you and all this stuff. And then it's like, but ultimately, my story must be told.
Yes, I think that would be actually like, that's my only note.
Yeah, the scenes where, I mean, there's a lot of scenes in this movie where the cultural differences between the US and China are hit on. And they kind of like, when I was watching it back, I was like, oh, they kind of cover like a lot of ground here where, I mean, there's like the most obvious plot point is the fact that Billy is really off put and kind of like freaked out at first by the idea of withholding information from her grandma about her own health. And they literally, they're like, in America, this is illegal. And like, that's why she's struggling with it. And then I like that scene with her uncle where he lays it out pretty clearly. He says, we're not telling Nai Nai because it's our duty to carry this emotional burden for her. Mm-hmm. And watch how that like affects Billy and how that like changes her to an extent, but not entirely. I don't know. It felt realistic where it was like, well, she's not going to unlearn her entire American, this American life in like one trip, but like she does understand it better. And it's like, I don't know. Taking that journey with her was really interesting. But then there's like conversations at the dinner table about college and about like career decisions and like choosing a career of passion for less money versus like something that will guarantee you becoming rich. And like they're just having these debates over dinner a lot that I was like, oh, this is, I don't know, it's so seamless in the way that the movie runs that I didn't even like, I don't know, watching it the second time, I was like, oh, they're like, Lulu Wang is covering a lot of ground here and like stuff that isn't even necessarily plot relevant, but it still kind of fits into the conversation.
Yeah, because I mean, this major theme that the whole movie kind of hinges on is this idea of like the duality of Billy's like culture and identity. And, you know, she has Chinese heritage, but she's ultimately raised as an American with American ideology and just like grappling with that. And that's such a relatable experience for especially like first generation Americans. And there's just not a whole lot of movies that explore that. So
yeah,
it's just really cool to see.
Yeah. I guess the like fully Americanized version would be, I guess they all just tell the grandma what, at Thanksgiving or something.
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving dinner.
And they all like tell her, or like one person tells her, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then I don't know. I don't know that version. You know what I'm saying? I actually don't know what that version would be because that's not my how my family operates either. My family is like more like secrets.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture, I don't know, it's just like a close elder family member of mine, they would be the ones to find out that they were dying, like from the doctor directly.
Oh that's true. Right.
So like, yeah, like, my grandfather's been sick for a really long time, but like there was never like, he just is always, no, they're just like, yeah man, you're 92.
Oh, you know what? Yes, that makes me think, you know, maybe like the more American thing is, which makes me really sad actually, is like people it, like, suffer quietly. Like, they're the ones that are dealing with it, and maybe so the secret would be that, like, the person with the ailment or illness doesn't want to tell their family. Maybe
they don't want to. Yeah, actually, that is, I feel like I've seen a lot of American movies like that, where someone knows that they're sick. They are withholding that information from their family because they don't want to burden their family with it. And it, yeah, it's such a...
I wonder how much that has to do with, like, Americanized healthcare too, where, like, there's,
right,
you know, all these stories about people who are sick but, like, can't afford for all these horrible reasons, but, like, can't afford to treat their own illness. And so they just don't talk about it because they're like, well, what else am I going to do? Or, like, that the burden being... not even emotional, but, like, financial. Like, there, I've had family members that didn't want their family to, like, go broke, you know, treating an illness, and so they just didn't mention the illness. Wow, we're fucked.
Yeah. Oh, and then instead they go and do, like, a bucket list. I feel like that's another movie. I think it's called that.
Yeah.
Right. They're like, well, I'm gonna go like jet skiing. You know, it's something I haven't done before or something. I don't know. Am I making up movies?
No, that movie that's is definitely a Morgan movie. Freeman and Jack Nicholson. Not going to watch it.
I don't know. I bet it starts with a cancer diagnosis, though.
Something like, yeah. God,
you know.
Let's go. Do you want to come back when we talk about that movie?
The bucket list.
Does it even work? Are there even any... Isn't it just men in the movie? Isn't it just the two of them?
Probably. Yeah, I think it's just the boys on a road trip.
But those are some fun movies because we can just talk about toxic masculinity the whole time.
Wait, just based on... Okay, first of all, the poster for this movie is so bizarre. It's Morgan Freeman, which he's got his arm around Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson's holding a glass of champagne. There's three pictures. One of them is them at the Egyptian pyramids. There's a picture of them about to jump out of a plane together, and there's a picture of them on a motorcycle together. But you can tell on the poster that all of the pictures are photoshopped. So I have no idea what's going on in this movie at all. But, like, they're not at the pyramids here, and they're not on a motorcycle together. It has 41% on Rotten Tomatoes, so we obviously, there's an urgent need to cover this movie.
I want to know what happens at the pyramid, so yeah, I'll probably check it out. Well, I just want to know if they go and just take a picture outside of it, like is that, because that's,
yeah,
or do they, like, you know. Anyway,
hard to say. Only one way to find out. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back for more discussion.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
And we're back.
Let's talk about a little bit more about Nai Nai and her relationship with... I feel like usually when we have older characters in movies at all, there's so many tropes attached to grandma characters that are avoided by this movie, just like because the movie is never punching down at her and we just get to know more about her. Like, she has a like complicated history and backstory, and I liked that, like, you know, you're introduced to her as like, oh, she's like this really, you know, charismatic matriarch and we love her and she's great. But then you also see scenes where she's kind of being an asshole to people. Mm. You see scenes where, you know, you find out that she has also like engaged with this lie before. Like, you just get this whole backstory for her and you see all these sides of her that I feel like you don't usually get for older characters in family movies at all.
Definitely. Yeah, we talked recently on a episode that might not have come out yet, but just the grandma character in a lot of movies is basically there as a joke,
right?
Or that they're there to like generate comedy because everyone's like, oh, grandma doing a grandma thing again, or oh, grandma grandma forgot something, or grandma couldn't hear you, or something like that.
Just like that string of Betty White roles from like the late 2000s.
Is there a grandma test?
Is there? We should make a grandma test.
No, but we should make one.
There should be a grandma test.
If there's a grandma in the movie, is she just there for comic relief, or does she have like a role in this story? Oh, we were talking about it in our Knives Out episode, Caitlin.
Oh, yes. So that's coming out right around now on the Matreon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's a movie that does adhere to that trope of like, grandma isn't aware of her surroundings and grandma doesn't know anything. So
grandma dies. That should be part of the test. Yeah. Does she die?
Does she die? God, that's so bleak. And this one would almost, you would think it would fail the test, but then at the end it doesn't fail the test because she lives.
Right.
Well, that's mostly to protect potential viewers' hearts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Emotions. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I really do feel like I wish I could have gone into this movie knowing that she was okay. Because you just have, I mean, maybe I'm sure that's a part of it, but we're like being filled with that dread the whole movie and just like, no, I love her. Don't. And then at the end, they're like, and she's fine. You're like, oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm like, well, show me 30 more minutes of actual footage of her. Because they showed some.
Yeah.
They showed some, but I was like, show me more. Show me more.
Where's the sequel?
Yeah, she's still alive. Yeah.
From what I can tell, she's still alive. Or she was alive at the time this movie came out. So I hope she's doing well. I feel like if she died, Lulu Wang would tell us. I don't know. Maybe I'm maybe I'm being a parasocial relationship.
I don't know anymore, y'all.
Like, maybe I'm just like, she'd tell me, but I'm like, I don't know her. She could lie to us. I don't know.
So far. You know,
I mean, she did participate in that one lie, so
that's true.
I don't know.
She could, you know, part two, who knows? But she's gonna tease us, she's gonna like shoot it a block like in LA where we can all see it. She's gonna shoot it right in Los Angeles, wherever, you know, most of the Farewell fans are, or something, and be like, guess what? We're filming, you'll never know, but Awkwafina is in it, and the same actress who played her grandma. She would do that to us.
Yeah. Who is amazing too. I looked up her history, Zhao Shuzhen, and she was like, I guess, a famous theater actress in China and hadn't ever done a film role. This was like her first film role, but she was like,
wow,
a theater icon. It's like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah, Nai Nai is so interesting because I feel like she, I don't know how to, like, there should be like a word to describe this, and maybe it exists and I don't know what it is, but like, she has these qualities that are like characteristic of her generation, but it isn't like over the top, and she does like compromise with Billy about it, where she like says, oh, when are you gonna get married, you need someone to take care of you, and Billy pushes back and she's like, I can take care of myself, I'm fine. And then she brings up like, Nai Nai has this like boyfriend ? Who's just like,
right,
around, Mr. Lee,
who is kind of trash, and Nai Nai is like, oh, whatever, Mr. Lee, he's just here. And Billy's like, well, what about your trash boyfriend? And Nai Nai is like, I see your point. Like, I just, the moments like that with them is so, are so fun.
And then Nai Nai comes around because later at the wedding, there are a group of a few older men who ask Billy, like, oh, are you married? And she's like, not yet. And then Nai Nai jumps in and she's like, no, career first. Like, mm-hmm. she, I feel like, you know, she's becoming a feminist icon.
I didn't even realize those things. I think I overlooked that. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Because all I heard was like, doctor, are you married yet? Mm-hmm, and I think I just, like, for some reason turned it off in my head. But yeah, that's cool that it was more layered, actually.
Yeah, they learn from each other.
Yeah. I think I'm just like, maybe I have my own test where I'm like, you know, it's my people, so I get like maybe protective, where I'm like, not every grandma asks about, you know, marriage or doctors, you know, like where I want to do that, but you know, that's not Lulu's fault.
Yeah. I mean, that's also a thing that a lot of white grandmas do, where they're always asking you about if you're married yet. So,
but then they also talk about so many other things, you know, right. It's just, that's not what's shown. Yeah.
That's true.
Usually.
Yeah. I like how those two characters, like, they both kind of compromise, where I feel like it would have been like a really easy thing to be like, Billy's like, no, grandma, you need to like think like an American and do like, and right. just, and then it becomes kind of like propaganda-y, like Western propaganda stuff.
Right.
But they, mm-hmm. they like listen to each other and they kind of like meet in the middle in a way that feels like, oh, this feels like a healthy family relationship.
Mm-hmm. It was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that, it might be in that same wedding scene where those older guys are at the table with them, but you find out a little more about Nai Nai, where there's this like guy that's been like holding a flame for her for like 50 years, where he's like, yeah, you know, I really wanted to marry you, and like all this, like, you know, that like where he's just talking about how he's like, I love you.
It's like, she's like, sorry, I'm with Mr. Lee now. So.
And I hate him. Sorry, I have a boyfriend.
None of us like him. We don't know why he's here.
He's a mystery. He really is. I wonder if that's pulled from real life, because he was a wild card.
I feel like so much of it is Lulu Wang's real life, or just inspired by details from her and her family's life. Because, for example, the person who plays Nai Nai's sister in the movie is Nai Nai's real, like, Lulu Wang's.
So it's her great aunt?
So that wasn't like a trained actor or anything.
Got it.
That was just, she put her great aunt in the movie in the same role.
High level secrets are being kept. That's so
wild.
Way
to keep it secret. Yeah. Way to make it harder.
Yeah. So many wild card elements.
Wait, did they shoot in the grandma's house too at some point?
Wouldn't
her actual house while she was sleeping?
Maybe.
And then you have like the relationship between Billy and her mom too. Like, I don't know. There's so many like different, very specific family relationships that like you don't always get a lot of time with them, but they feel like the dynamics are really well written and clear, where like Billy is definitely closer with Nai Nai than she is with her mom. Mm-hmm. And her mom is like a little, I don't even know how to, like, she's just like less emotionally expressive, mm-hmm. and is very like practical. Like, I do what I have to do, and I'm not gonna, like, she kind of like pokes at Billy for like crying, mm-hmm. and she's like, well, I'm not just gonna cry about stuff like you do. And I was like, ooh, mm-hmm. okay, mom. But you also like, I don't know, I mean, there's the, I feel like that the mom, I, when this movie came out, like Awkwafina's performance and Zhao Shuzhen's performance were so, I mean, like rightfully so, spotlighted, but I thought the actress who played the mom was so good and like deserved more of a shout out. Her name is Diana Lin, mm-hmm. and I really like she is like dealing with having an alcoholic husband in a way that doesn't really take over the story, but is like clearly a reality that she just feels like, I just have to deal with this. There's no point in expressing emotion about it. This is just what it is. And has like these differences with her daughter that keep coming up, of like differences on how they're grieving, differences on how they view America, where like the mom, there's like that story about the church key thing, mm-hmm. where they just view the US very differently. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I liked all of her story beats. It felt like she was a very fleshed out character that kind of, I don't know, I just really liked her.
Yeah. And then Awkwafina is like, mom, that church is not representative of all of America.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, like the relationships and the characters in this movie, yeah, they're like just really well developed and they feel very authentic, mm-hmm. and it's obviously because they're based on real people,
right?
Because I feel like in a lot of movies where there's like, for example, a really tropey grandma character, mm-hmm. or like a really tropey mother-daughter relationship, they're written by people who are basing those characters off of tropes they saw in other movies,
right?
Where like, rather than like basing them off of characters, like off of real people, mm-hmm. it's like this whole like tropes beget more tropes kind of thing, yeah. where some writers are like, well, I'm writing a movie with a grandma character in it, and this is how I've seen other grandmas depicted in movies,
yeah.
so I'll just write that.
It is. I mean, it's like, I totally agree with you, and you really can tell when there's like an authentic experience behind it, and when mm-hmm. it's particularly male writers writing out mother-daughter relationships, I feel like sometimes come off yeah. as super just dissonant of like, is this how you think your family talks when you're not around, sir?
Right.
Yeah and I mean, Lulu Wang is just like such a good distinct writer, and it just feels very mm-hmm. very natural.
For sure. Yeah, like you said, like when the writer is basing things off of their real lived experiences and the real people in their lives, like it's no wonder that you get these rich, authentic characters and situations like you see in The Farewell.
It's true.
And then another scene I wanted to talk about was where they're looking for Billy's cousin's future, his wife's
Earring.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Billy has a breakdown because she's been grappling with this dilemma of like, I really think that we should tell Nai Nai mm-hmm. that she's ill, and everyone else keeps being like, no, under no circumstances will we do that. And it's weighing on her emotionally. And then she tells this kind of childhood story of how she, before her family immigrated to the U.S., she would spend summers with her grandma and grandpa, and he was sick, and no one told him that he was sick, and no one told little Billy that he was sick, so that, like, after they went to the U.S. and he died, and then when they would go back to visit, he wasn't there anymore, and how, like, confusing and tragic that was, because she never had the opportunity to say goodbye. And when she was, you know, like her early life in the U.S., she was scared and confused, and she saw that same kind of frightened look on her mother's face. And, you know, they're just like kind of explaining all of those emotions, and her mom is like, yeah, it was difficult for us too. And just that kind of whole experience, and like the performance that Awkwafina is giving in that scene is just like, ugh.
That part really got me. Because it was like, well, but different kind of story. But yeah, it was like I still think about Japan, even though it's not my home anymore. But it's such a harsh realization where it's like, and I think I was always scared. I always had like separation anxiety. My grandma would be like, well, you got to be independent soon now, you know? But it's because like grandma didn't tell me we were going to stay here. So I didn't say bye to my friends. When I went back to Japan, when I finally could, they were no longer my friends. They had moved on. You know, when I finally got my green card, I could leave the country legally. Yeah, that part I was like, oh my God. I mean, not to make it about me, but, you know.
Wow, what an American thing to do.
Well, I am on a podcast, so, like, you know, I do want to talk about Awkwafina's great performance, but also my life. So what about my performance and just on this podcast?
I mean, you're doing great.
Yeah.
We should have done Shrek.
No.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Have we talked about her dad at all? I don't think so.
Just that he seems to maybe be struggling with alcoholism.
Oh, that was the moment with Nainai where I was like, Nainai, what are you doing? Where she like super contradicts herself in a way that I was like really feeling for Billy's mom in that moment where, like, when they first arrive, Nainai is like, hey, is he drinking again? Like, we really need to be careful that he's not drinking too much. And then, like, a half hour later, he's drinking too much. And Billy's mom is like, hey, stop. And Nainai is like, let him drink. And I was
let him drink.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What are you? Literally, my grandma used to do that with my dad. Not good. Not good.
Yeah.
I forget. Was she going through something? Is that why she changed her mind? Or she just did that?
I couldn't tell. I thought that that was like an interesting character moment for her where, like, I feel like she has kind of like a shiny halo for a lot of the movie. And in that moment, I'm like, you're being mean to Billy's mom. Like, why? Why? Yeah.
I think it was just like the wedding coming up and it was like cause for celebration. And she keeps being like, well, this is the first time like we've all been together as a family in like 25 years or something. So like, let's enjoy ourselves. And
but it's like, but what about yesterday, Nainai? You said this literally yesterday. Anyways, I don't know.
But yeah, the actor who plays Billy's dad is Tsi Ma, who I've seen in a bunch of stuff. Like, he's an iconic character actor. He did an amazing job. Everyone, just the...
I remembered him. I was like, oh, the guy from Arrival. He's in...
Because
we covered that pretty recently.
Right.
Anyways.
So, I mean, it's just... the performances in this movie all around are incredible, including from people who are not actors, such as like Lulu Wang's great aunt.
I would not have guessed that. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that she wasn't a professionally trained actor.
Yeah.
Right?
I wonder who else. The bride? Did she have lines? I forget. I feel like she didn't get to say much, right?
She barely said anything. I think she... I'm looking on IMDb. And the cast of the movie, of the ones that have photos of themselves next to their name, those are like more established actors. And the people who do not have photos next to their name, I'm guessing they are not really established or trained actors. And I would say like half of the cast are not necessarily trained famous actors at all, so but that's just a testament to like Lulu Wang's directing skills and how she's able to get such good performances out of people who are not necessarily trained actors. So
This is awesome.
What else? Any other thoughts about the movie?
Not for me.
Not really. Yeah, I liked the, let me see if I had anything else in the, I liked the scene where they mourned the grandfather. That was just like learning moment for me. I didn't know. Hey everybody, post-episode Jamie and Caitlin, I wasn't fully aware of this when we were recording the episode, but I wanted to make sure it was acknowledged. Awkwafina has been criticized repeatedly over the years for appropriating Black aesthetics, starting with her early rap career. It is, to my knowledge, not something she's ever addressed publicly, but I and it doesn't really apply in the movie The Farewell, but that has been kind of some of the nature of the criticism, where she appropriates Black aesthetics in certain roles and then in other roles doesn't. And so it becomes pretty clear what's being done. She is not the only person to have done this. There are, I mean, there's a huge history in music and movies and TV of doing this, but I just wanted to share for context this this quote, and we'll link this in the description of the episode as well. This is an opinion piece from the Duke Chronicle from last year, a piece called On Awkwafina Appropriation and Asian American Identity by a writer named Hannah Mao. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And here is the kind of summary of what the piece is about. She says, quote, "Many have rightly criticized Awkwafina for rising to stardom through an appropriation of Black aesthetics. From her viral rap song My Vag to her breakout role as Peklin Go in Crazy Rich Asians, Awkwafina has made a career out of performing a caricatured version of Blackness, co-opting African American vernacular English, AAVE, speaking in a quote-unquote Black scent, and playing characters that could be interpreted as minstrel-esque. Awkwafina has worn Blackness like a costume, putting it on when it commercially rewards her in Crazy Rich Asians and Ocean's 8, and taking it off when it does not, like in The Farewell and her newest project, Nora from Queens." It's a really good piece. We'll link it, that discusses other entertainers who have done similar things, but I just wanted to acknowledge it in this episode as well.
Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, I think that's kind of all I had. I just like that, like, you see a ton of different, like, relationships between women from different generations. I feel like is already like a super rare thing to see, like, written thoughtfully in movies, especially between, like, Billy, her mom, and Nai-Nai, like, three women with different perspectives on a lot of stuff, and watching them like navigate life but still really care about each other, even when like, especially with Billy and her mom, like, could not be more different, but like are both coming from, like, very understandable, genuine places. I love a movie with multiple generations of women disagreeing on things. So I think that's just a genre that I like.
Hashtag relatable.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Hashtag I live in it. One of my favorites was Grey Gardens.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
When you said different generations of women disagreeing with each other, or you know, having to, like, figure it out together.
Yeah. That.
And they're kind of codependent.
I'm like, I know it's a documentary, but we should maybe just cover. I was also thinking Steel Magnolias. It's like all about women getting a good fight, like in understandable, like, not baseless conflict, just like, because then I feel like you just get, like, real acting performances, and it's very exciting. Anyways, I don't have any more notes. I'm excited to see what Lulu Wang does next, too. I know that she's got a science fiction-y project in the works right now that I'm like, I don't know much about, but it sounds pretty interesting. And I just hope that, you know, that because this was, like, the movie that, like, really launched her career, that she'll, you know, get to make a bunch of cool shit and, like, get the kind of blank check treatment that we see with a lot of white guy directors, because like she's super talented. She's got like, and I'm excited to see her work in a different genre too. I was like, ooh, mm-hmm. what is a Lulu Wang yeah. sci-fi movie gonna look like?
Sci-fi, yeah, right. Totally. Oh, I hope it shoots a block away from my house. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. I just want to get a peek. I just want a peek.
What if you get cast to be the star?
Or I'll just like be in the background. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll just like point at whatever like the scary thing is. Mm-hmm. You know? I'm just assuming there's a scary thing.
I mean, you know. Probably.
That's where the psy comes in.
Yes, 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 yeah.
Well, the movie does definitely pass the Bechdel test.
Yeah.
A lot. Billy, I think there are probably more conversations between Billy and Nai-Nai than any other combination. I didn't like track this scientifically, but
yeah, Billy and Nai-Nai, Billy and her mom. Billy, and we didn't talk about her aunt, but Billy and her aunt mm-hmm. talk quite a bit as well. Yeah, I've like men are definitely present in the story, but like not overwhelmingly. So they're there. They're mm-hmm. and they're mm-hmm. and they're emoting too. They're
yeah,
yeah.
Yes.
Men cry. Yeah, it's just like a really beautiful family dynamic that we're seeing, where like different family members disagree for different reasons. Some of them are cultural reasons. Some of them are just because they have different personalities. Like, it's just very emblematic mm-hmm. of how families work. And yeah, this is just like a very relatable story about complicated family dynamics, which is something that everyone can relate to. Because like, I think there's a tendency for American Hollywood, like movie studios, to assume like, oh, well, this has an all Asian cast and they're not speaking English most of the time. So there's no way this would appeal to American audiences, because there's just so much bias when it comes to what studios and like your big Hollywood gatekeeper people think audiences will and won't relate to. But this movie and many movies like it are just very human stories that do have a wide appeal.
Yeah.
Because we're all people.
unless you're Mr. Lee.
Right, unless you're Mr. Lee, and then for some reason
you're just scum of the earth, yeah.
Mr. Lee didn't even make the poster. He's the only character that didn't make the poster.
Yeah, so we'll figure that out. Yeah,
justice for Mr. time. Lee. We'll figure it out.
Where's his spinoff?
Maybe he'll pop up in Shrek 5. We don't know.
He's gonna be the lead of the sci-fi movie.
It's a whole sci-fi story where he's like a cyborg.
Yes.
And then as far as our nipple scale, which is our scale of 0 to 5 nipples based on examining the movie through an intersectional feminist lens. Mm-hmm. I didn't have like a bad thing to say about this movie. So it's obviously going to get a high nipple rating.
She's stalling for time. Pick a number. Pick a number.
Look, I'm going to withhold this information for the rest of the episode. No, I don't know. I'm just like, I feel like we just recorded an episode earlier today where we gave the movie 5 nipples. And I'm like, wait a minute. Am I about to give 2 movies in a row?
Oh, 5 sure, nipples? Sure, sure. Yeah, it makes you feel unsure.
It makes me feel unsure, but I mean, just based on everything we talked about in terms of the way the women are characterized, the way just the family dynamics are characterized,
right.
The relationships, the exploration of Billy's character's experience and the dilemma that she's feeling based on this like duality of her cultures. I don't know. I think it's like, I don't have any criticism.
Jamie's like, just say
5 nipples.
Jamie's like, just say 5.
I'm getting so impatient.
Jamie's like, you can give 2 fives.
It's gonna be okay.
In one day.
I know, but I'm just, like, it's so rare to give 5 nipples that I'm like, is this a mistake?
We've been covering too many good movies is our problem. We keep choosing these movies that are really good.
Which is why we need to cover Shrek 4.
Yeah.
Guarantee right it's not good. What if it is 5 though? What if we were like Rumpelstiltskin moved me to tears.
yeah. Or wait for Mr. Lee Strikes Back. Lulu's response to the farewell, the sci-fi movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna give 5 nipples, and I will distribute them to Lulu Wang, Xiao Shuzhen, who plays Nai Nai, to Diana Lin, who plays Billy's mom, to the great aunt, whose name is Lu Hong, just everyone. Also, Aiko, who plays the bride, who's just...
the bride. She's just trying to figure out what's happening the whole
she
movie.
She doesn't speak Mandarin, so she does not know what anyone is saying.
I mean, honestly, I would be like so pissed at my boyfriend or my fiance.
Right, why isn't he translating for her?
Yeah, I would be like, what do you, like, I can't believe you're making me do this. I don't, you know, I don't have to. Like, right. I'm a whole person.
Yeah, where's her spinoff movie?
That's another moment where Nai Nai is an asshole, where she's like, I hate this girl. She doesn't know what's going on. And Billy's like, yeah, she has no idea what anyone is saying. And Nai Nai is like, anyways. Like,
I know. And she's like, I don't even want to get married to him. Maybe not even anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right. The wedding is like a sham just to get everyone together. So...
I would break up with him after this whole thing. I would. I'd be like, you made me like get forced into a marriage and like go through all that family drama. Mm-hmm. You don't even say much. You don't even have a personality. Goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Anyway. Fair. So those are my 5 nipples.
I'm gonna give I'm also gonna give the movie 5 nipples because I really like it. I really like a story about multiple generations of women. I feel like I've said everything that I want to say about it. I want to give it 5 nipples, and I'm going to give all of my nipples to Lulu Wang's real grandma, who was a block away the whole time. I feel like that adds a whole nother level to the experience of the movie. She was steps away, and I was so happy to hear that she was still with us at the end. It was... In a movie full of great parts, it is the finding out that the real Nai Nai is alive is the best part.
I like gasped in the theater. I was like, wow.
It's a feel good ending.
I love it.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see more of Lulu Wang's stuff in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Atsuko, what about you?
I'm going to have to give it 4 nipples for Aiko. and her situation. You know, the movie really crushed the other parts. I still think about her and her situation. So
yeah, there was room for a subplot with her.
Yeah, but that's the only reason. And I would give the 4 nipples to I guess Lulu Wang. Good job, girl. Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah. Whatever you want.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And her friend. No, actually, her friend, like, talked, right? And that's where the grandma found out.
The sister?
The grandma's sister who was in the movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She got sucked up into the Hollywood glitz of it all. Like, maybe real Nai Nai was like, so what have you been up to? And she's like, oh, I've been in this movie about... Oops.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
Well, Atsuko, it's always a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for being here.
Yay. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for delighted. Coming back.
And we'll see you soon for Shrek 4. Or whatever. Shrek 5, Shrek 3, Shrek 2, anything.
There's two more.
Puss in Boots. As long as it's those.
Hey, count me in. I already know how many nipples I'm going to give it.
Where can people follow you online, and is there anything you'd like to plug?
I'm just at Otsuko Comedy, and you can just see what I'm up to there on the socials.
Amazing. Yeah.
We're in all the regular places. We're on Instagram, Twitter, at Bechdelcast. You can follow us on our Patreon, aka Matreon, at patreon.com/Bechdelcast, where we're talking about Knives Out this week. Mm-hmm. And you can get merch at tpublic.com/TheBechdelcast if that is your desire in life.
All true. These are not lies. These are not lies that we're telling you.
We're not withholding any information at this time.
We are telling you the truth. So Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you, just as you are.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.